Turn to Acts chapter 10, please. You know, I've got notes. And I'm going to try to stay to them the best I can, but to be honest with you, well, let's just see where the Lord takes me, okay? The song we just sang, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. I'm a witness of that, folks. I have witnessed my Redeemer setting me free. I remember a day when I had no desire to be here in a church. I had no desire to look into the things of the Lord. I remember that day well. Lord, help me to never forget it. In Romans 3:11, it says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. But it also says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To one who doesn't understand what it is to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has seen, one who can say through the eye of faith, I know that Christ is God, they would read those two verses and say that sounds like a contradiction. In Romans 5:19 it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So by the obedience of one many shall call upon his name. So by the gift of the one, the gift of faith to his loved ones, all that the Father giveth him shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him, as it continues to go in verse 14, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? One to stand before God's people. One who stands before those that God brings across his path, their paths, and witness the things of Christ. I declare to you this evening that God has chosen a remnant out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation to be a witness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen from before the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians 1:4, chosen to the salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and to believe the truth, as it says in 2 Timothy, chosen to be vessels of mercy formed by the potter, as we read about it in Romans 9:23. Are you with me in Acts chapter 10? We studied these verses in Bible study the other night, and this just jumped right out at me. Starting in verse 39, and we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, speaking of Christ, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. This is my title for this evening, Chosen Witnesses. Just as those that it was written about here were chosen to see the resurrected Christ, all of God's people are also chosen before of God to be witnesses of the things of Christ. Not necessarily with the eyes of the flesh, but with the eye of faith. In Ephesians 2 it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When Abraham was told by God that he would have a son by his wife Sarah, he believed God. He had the gift of faith that what God said would come true. All whose names were written in the book of life before a star ever twinkled in the sky will receive that same gift in the day of his power. That's why we have peace. That's why we have peace knowing with those who are our loved ones who don't know the Lord. If they belong to God, if my son and my daughter, my grandchildren belong to God, I have nothing to worry about. The Lord will call them. All the Father giveth them shall come. I say that every time I stand before you, and I'm going to continue saying it every time I stand before you, and I'm going to continue saying that every time I can think of it, because that's my peace. All that the Father giveth him shall come to him. Pastor Gene read this very scripture this morning in Hebrews 1:1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This Jesus, this one who is God in the flesh, has showed and is still showing all of his chosen blood-bought children the things of himself throughout his word, expounding the things of Christ as he did with the two men on the road to Emmaus. Turn over to Mark chapter 8, if you would, please. Hold your, mark your place there in Acts. We'll come back to it in a moment. If you haven't already lost your spot, sorry. Should have said that a little quicker. With the eye of faith, believing God's word, we are witnesses to the fact that Christ is God in the flesh. We see throughout scriptures in the New Testament where Christ did only things God could do. No man has ever made another man's withered hand become whole just by saying so. No man has ever been able to spit in the eye of another man and then touch him and give him sight. Yeah, we've done some pretty amazing things. We can do some, we can take your eyes out of your head and put someone else's in there and amazing, you can see. We can take the heart out of another human being and put it in this one over here. And amazing, they live. We can do some pretty amazing things, but we can't heal the blind. We can't raise the dead. Frankenstein is a myth. Christ did all those things. He is God in the flesh. When we read about him through scriptures, I don't know about you, but I know it happened. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that the floods came upon the earth and that the Lord saved Noah. There's no doubt in my mind that the entire group of Israel, the entire thousands of millions, how many ever there were, crossed on dry land. Cross that ocean, that water, standing up on both sides. Here in Mark, we see God feeding about 4,000 souls in a way that only can be done by God. If you're with me, Mark 8, chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away, fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers are of them have came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. 7 loaves of bread. When I was growing up, 7 loaves of bread last 5 days. And that was only with 3 boys and 2 girls. Lielo. He's not here on the phone. I was kind of hoping he would be. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they had, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Have you ever heard of a man ever being able to do that? Only God can do that, folks, and I know it happened because I've just read it in the Word of God. What about the miracle that we see in verse 22 through verse 26 of this same chapter? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away into his house, saying, neither go thee unto the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Now, if you would, please go back to Acts chapter 10. So we see 2 miracles right there alone. And there's many, 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 many more. We could spend the whole night in the next 7 days going through and reading all the miracles, and we still wouldn't cover them all, because God says there were so many miracles covered, so many miracles performed by him, that all the books could not contain them. Yet I saw that miracle of that man being healed. Not with my eyes, my physical eyes, but with the eyes of the heart, the eyes of faith. I know it happened. The Lord says it happened. Abraham knew it would happen because the Lord said it would.
Yes, sir.
We also read that Christ thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God. Philippians 2:6. Folks, there can only be one God, and he is a jealous God, and he will share his glory with no other. Yet there are 3 distinct persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Yes, it's a mystery, but the truth all the same. Throughout Scripture, we are witness to this very fact. God the Father choosing his people in the people of Israel. Or how about here in verse 41? Not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen. Can it get more clear than that? Chosen before of God. God chose long before this event happened for these people to see the risen, exalted Christ come before them with the holes in his hands. The hole in his side. Proving that he had hung on the cross and been resurrected from the dead. Not everybody saw it. Says that very clearly. Not to all the people, but he showed it openly to God's elect, to God's chosen people. God, the Son, redeeming his people, we see in substitution throughout Scripture. What about in verse 39? And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. And then verse 40, him God raised up the 3rd day and showed him openly. We see the Christ who went to the cross, hung on the cross and died by his own will, by his own power. Yes, wicked hands hung him there, but it was by his determinate counsel that they did so. He went to the cross because he loves all of his people, all that the Father giveth him. Every single last one of them. He loved him so much he gave himself for us. God the Spirit, we see throughout Scripture, calling his people, hearing with the heart. Look in verse 43 and 44. To him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remissions of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the wonderful Spirit of God, fell on all them which heard the word. Yet there may be some who say, I've misused this word witness. There may be those who say, I've taken the word out of context. They say the word witness is to be a first-hand experience. And to a carnal mind, that's true. And in a way, you see, if all you have is the knowledge of the events that are spoken of in scriptures that we've just gone over, as if all you have is the knowledge of this man who was written about being blind, if all you have is that knowledge of it, then you've missed the boat. There are plenty of people who claim to be Christians who can read these exact same scriptures that we read, who say they believe it, yet they have never experienced it. They have never witnessed with the heart, with the eyes of the heart. These people, these witnesses that were chosen before of God, were witnesses of the risen, exalted Christ. Personally, he came to them. He sought them out as the spotted goats and sheep that Mike brought out in his message this morning. Oh, that was such a wonderful message. I really enjoyed that. The Lord blessed me greatly. So allow me, if you will, to share some first-hand events that I have witnessed. There was once a day when I was dead in trespasses and sins. There was once a day when my heart was as black as anyone else's. It was a heart of stone. I had no desire for the Word of God. I had no desire for the things of Christ. My desires were as all whom walk this earth. Worldly desires. I was blind as can be to the truths, the spiritual things. I had no ears to hear the wonderful truths of the gospel. I did not seek the things of God. It was all about me, all about my world, all about my pleasures. It was about my will. And then, in the day of his power, as it was according to his will, under the sound of his gospel, the Lord passed by and said, John, live. Yet it is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Christ dwells in the hearts of all of his church, his called out people. Christ came to me not in person, but by the way of the Holy Spirit, and he cut away that old stony heart. Just as he brought a great famine upon the land of Israel so that Naomi and her husband and her sons would flee unto Moab, then the Lord took her husbands and her sons away from her so that Naomi would return and she would bring her daughter-in-law back with her to Israel to become the wife of her Redeemer. God caused certain things to happen in my life that on a Sunday morning I would get up and walk out the front door, my wife would say, where are you going? I remember this very clearly. I stopped. And I said, I'm going to church. I wasn't going because, well, I thought I was going, though. The Lord was going to have me come here and hear his gospel preached. God caused certain things to happen so that I would cross the paths with one of his chosen preachers and meet my Redeemer. Just as the blind man that we just read about in Mark could see dimly after the Lord first touched him, so did I. But as time went along, God began to reveal himself more and more in the face of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Chapter 2. As Peter answered to the questions, who do you say that I am? I too can and say that you are the Son of the living God. I have witnessed the healing power firsthand of my Lord. I have seen what I once was. And although my flesh is no better now, my heart seeks after the Lord. As King David wrote in the 51st Psalm, my sins are ever before me. Or as Paul wrote in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, I too can see the sin of my flesh. I know I deserve the wrath of God, for in my flesh there is no good thing. Yet God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Oh, how wonderful and thankful I am that he does not harden me. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. I love that. In fact, do I say this every time I preach? Do I say that scripture just about every time I preach? Don't I? That's all right. It means that much to me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He who came into this world to establish a perfect righteousness for me, he who was made to be sin for me, he who willingly laid down his life on the tree as my substitute, he who was raised again for my justification, he who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved me, even as I was dead in sins, hath quickened me together with Christ. By grace I am saved through faith, the gift of God, not of my works, lest I should boast. I have witnessed firsthand the saving power of the Son of Christ Jesus the Lord. Turn over to John chapter 15, please. Oh, how I am prone to wander, though. As an eyewitness, a personal eyewitness to these things, I still take my eyes off of Christ. I get out there in the world and things distract me. Sometimes I mention it in my prayers, the sparkly things of the world, as I call them. There's a lot of those. Oh, how easy it is for me to take my eye off of my Savior. Yet the Lord has sent the Comforter to keep me through my times of trial. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The Comforter... Well, let me continue. First, let's jump over to verse 26, please. 15, verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Notice who it is the Comforter testifies of. When we take our eyes off of Christ, what is it that Spirit of God does, He brings us back to Christ. Not to the Comforter, but to Christ Himself. Sometimes that can be a pretty rough path. We can stumble pretty hard. Yeah. Mike, I'm sure, has had this experience, especially recently with a young boy. Have you ever seen your children fall over and hit their face and bloody up their nose real bad? Have you ever sat there at a time and looked at it and said, oh, you poor thing. You'll never do that again. The Lord does that to me all the time. Lets me fall flat on my face so that I get back up. And I hope the Lord has taught me a lesson that I won't do that again. Looking to my Lord. Keeps me looking to my Lord. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Comforter keeps me from reminding, keeps me by reminding me the things of Christ. He shall testify of me, our Lord says. I have witnessed. I have fallen on my face. I have hurt my nose. I have bled from the face. I have witnessed the keeping power of God, the Holy Spirit. Now let's return to our text. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Romans chapter 10. Our text is in Acts. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it says. You remember me opening with that. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you'll allow me the honor to read an article in today's bulletin. I titled the article, Chosen Witnesses. As it is written in verse 40, Him, speaking of Christ, God raised up the third day and showed Him, Christ, openly. What this means is that He showed Christ as He was, with the pierce marks in His hands and feet, the pierce mark from the sword that pierced His side. But as we see in the beginning of verse 41, not all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Only those that had been chosen before the world was chosen by God witnessed this resurrected Christ. Peter was speaking of those who lived in that day, but it also applies to all of His chosen before and since. Have you seen the resurrected Christ, folks? Do you see God Almighty taking your sins into the ground and leaving them there, into the earth, into the dust, remembering them no more? Oh, what a blessed truth that is. We may not see Him with our physical eyes, but we do see Him with the eye of faith, the gift of faith, as we see in Ephesians. When God the Father comes to His elect, His chosen people, and reveals the crucified Son in His Word, He shows us openly. This is the One who stood as our substitute. This is the One who is God in the flesh. This is the One who willingly laid down His life for His sheep. This is the One who paid the price in full for all of our sins. This is the One who is raised from the dead, sitting on His throne in heaven, ruling over everything that is. This is the One who cannot fail. This is the One, this One is Lord of all. As a witness to these things that are pronounced throughout of God's Holy Scriptures, I declare unto you, salvation is of the Lord. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. I will tell the wondrous story how my lost estate to save, in His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell. how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Amen.